All right. So today is our December, can't believe it's December already, meeting for the Gold Plus group. And I'm super excited to have you guys here and support you in what you need support with. And I just opened, I know a few of you noted in there, celebrations for Jill was modules. Diana, super challenging last couple of weeks, and you wanted to look at a help. Okay, you have it uploaded in the Biocanic, or is it in your folder?
Folder and master tracker are
Okay,
uploaded.
good. I'll look at that. All right. And then Wheaton, who said her belly was good up until an hour ago and wanting to talk about how to combine low oxalate with low FODMAP. Okay, cool. All right. So who would like to begin? Whoops.
Either way.
Yeah, let me start with.
I want to go fairly soon because I need to go and lay down.
Yeah, let me start with Diana, and then we'll move to, yeah, okay.
Hopefully it's just a quickie.
Yeah, so
Things
let
like
me
that.
pull up your sheet. Is it okay if I share my screen when I look at it?
Absolutely.
All
Thank
right, I will look at it.
you.
All right.
Thank you.
And how long ago did you get this test done?
This week, Monday.
So very recent. Okay,
I
Diana.
wasn't expecting to be able to get labs drawn, but with the problems that we've had, we really needed a guidance. So
Yes. Okay.
my adrenals crashed pretty hard,
Whew.
and now we've got real issues with my heart since they're not included in the
Palpitations.
terminal. One of them. That's minor. I hardly even notice those. Now, my heartbeat is completely and totally irregular. I bounce between AFib and bradycardia. I can go from a heart rate of 200 to 42 in 5 minutes.
Okay. Are you still taking the hawthorn? You still taking all your supplements and your herbs?
Those I'm taking now, yes. The
Okay.
trouble is getting the right numbers. And if you get in there, we also did a CBC because the major problem I've got is this infection is back. Remember the infection from hell last
Last
spring?
year, yeah, from the
Yeah,
beginning of the
well, it's
year.
back and it's got its buddy, the bacterial part to it. And so in battling that plus the terminal cancer, supposed terminal, not going to say that anymore.
Yeah, don't even say that.
No, it is not, because you'll see that on this CBC. It'll blow your
Right.
mind.
So your glucose is high because of, not because you're eating sugar, but because of
Stress.
your stress. Yes. But even given that, these numbers, your bun is better than it was back in April.
I know that's the first one as well. That's about as good as it's looked. But
Your
yeah,
electrolytes are way
right.
off.
That's what we've been working with, trying to get the electrolytes balanced, because we figured that has a lot to do with the heart rate and the
Yeah.
blood pressure. Because the blood
Yeah.
pressure has been in 200 over 150. More than not.
What about magnesium? Are you on
Yes,
magnesium?
I'm on magnesium. I've got to keep the magnesium on board because of the constipation coming from the drugs.
Yeah. So I would say you might need to increase it, right? How much are you taking?
Well, when I looked at this, the only thing I was noticing is chloride seems to be the one thing that's really bizarre. I've never seen that pop
Yeah,
up
it's really
before.
low.
And I thought, well, half these minerals are in chloride form, aren't they? Or there's sodium chloride.
Well, there's
And I
sodium
started
chloride, but
looking, and no, they're not. Remember, we're taking all the good doses. Chloride isn't really, but we're not taking sodium chloride. We're taking
yeah, I, you
sodium.
might, given you have potassium and chloride low, you might look at and just simple potassium chloride salt
Right.
and just start
Potassium
adding
chloride
that.
salt. And then the other thing, I just in going through everything I have, all the minerals, I found one. It's the ionic, what is that?
Trace
Trace
minerals.
minerals, ionic magnesium. It's
Okay.
400 milligrams of magnesium, but it has 1,100 milligrams of chloride in it.
And
This
is
is
that what you're
nothing like
taking,
my
or
other
you,
stuff.
Had you been taking this all along?
No, I have not.
Okay, so this is a good one to start with.
That was a gold find, because I've looked through all of the minerals that I've been taking in electrolytes, and none of them have the chlorides in them.
Chloride form, yeah.
So I think this one's going to help a lot. I wanted your validation.
Hyperventilating?
Pardon?
Are you hyperventilating or hypoventilating?
I
mean, with the heart rate, does it cause you to try to do more breathing shallowly, or?
Well, the whole breathing thing is very unstable. I have shortness of breath, and that leads to air hunger, and then it's the air starvation. And that's how I almost went home 3 weeks ago Sunday.
I think
I had an asthma attack.
There's a really good book I just started listening to. It's called Breath. And he's talking about a lot of the, when you accentuate the exhale, you're building up your carbon dioxide level, which then goes to the cells and causes them to release oxygen.
Oh, really?
Right? So, yeah. So with you, it's just going to be like, you know, maybe you do a 2 second inhale and a 3 second exhale.
Okay.
Whatever you can, you know, whatever it's called.
First lip breathing, where you inhale slowly and deeply, and then you purse your lips like you're blowing out a candle.
Yeah. But just make sure the exhale is a little longer than the inhale.
A little bit longer. Well, yeah. I usually do that.
Because
the other one was up. That was the carbon dioxide.
Yeah. Because the carbon dioxide is up, but it's not. Yeah, that could be hypoventilation.
Yeah, and then my albumin and globulin ratios are all off, and protein's low, of course. My digestion is definitely off.
You know what, Diana? This is actually good numbers for this.
I know, for me.
You know what I mean? It's, you're not getting into cachexia state. You're not getting into, like, the proteins are plummeting.
Appetite is back.
And I saw you eating before, so that's really good.
It is. It's coming back. Taste buds are real, real lagging there, but at least the appetite part's back.
Yeah.
Now that we got the killer fentanyl off the board. So anyway, those numbers right there, my hospice nurse was actually going, she's going to have low albumin. I'm telling you that now.
Yeah. But it's not
she was
like
right, but the whole albumin,
right?
Quack.
So you know, I would make sure you keep protein in, right? If you have even protein powder mixed in applesauce or something, you know, just to get
a liquid. I've got a liquid protein powder drink, and it's super organic, non-GMO. Comes out of New Zealand. Fantastic stuff.
Increase your zinc.
I have. I'm probably doing about 350 a day.
Whoa.
A couple of different forms. I'm doing
just recently started after you. Well, wait, this is 713. Oh. What am I looking at?
So this was.
Did you put the date?
You're looking at the right one. No, that should say something else.
It was just recently. So does it say 1113?
Actually, you know what? I might have overwritten the 713 ones.
Whoops.
So don't worry. It is
the right
one. You
can always go back and add them back. Okay, so this is the right one.
Yeah, this was Monday for sure.
Okay, so this is 12. I'm going to just change this. I'm going to copy this to remind you. If you find those numbers, you can put them back in. But I'm going to put in 12. What'd you say it was? Monday?
It was, Monday. It was 1130.
Yesterday.
1130.
All right.
Episode
11:30, a week before that. Okay, got it.
Yeah, sorry.
That's fine. Okay.
This week's been a long week.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
So now you can go
and
ahead
look
and write
at
down.
Your liver enzymes. So the meds haven't shot your liver enzymes through the roof either. So that's, I think, all the protection you're doing with all your herbs is a
blessing. Yeah, and we definitely probably want to work on more yellow dock. I've increased that one too with the iron. So, anyway, that was the electrolyte news. And then the other one was the
iron is way back in, 429. So that's not recent. So just be careful.
No, but it is since the diagnosis.
Yeah.
That's when things started changing.
You want to be careful of too much iron, because it's oxidative if it's too much.
Yeah.
If you can get it.
So get down to that CBC thing. You got to see those first four numbers.
Okay.
Your jaw's going to be on the floor.
Holy cow. Wow.
They were all green. There's absolutely no below their eyes.
Some of them are yellow. Here's the red.
Just barely.
Barely. Yeah.
That's barely.
Barely, considering your history. Hemoglobin. I mean, look at these.
Best ever ran. I haven't seen numbers like that in 40 years.
Your MCV.
Healing is continuing, Dr. Rita Marie.
It's definitely healing. So I would say, given this MCV, I would say, yeah, the yellow doc's fine. Increase it a little bit. Even if we don't have a recent iron because of this MCV being on the low side. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So the healing is still happening. There's a little kiss on the forehead.
Yeah. You're too valuable to lose.
I think awesome. That's what he's saying.
Yep.
But yeah, you get down into the white differential and it's a little different story.
Yeah, there's an acute something going on with your...
And it is bacterial, no doubt about it.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm going back. I dug back out my antibiotic book. I had been leaning towards it may be more viral this time, but it's hard to tell. I haven't done a blood thing for 3 months.
Yeah, so the neutrophils definitely confirm that it's more of a bacterial.
Yeah, and my lymphocytes are at 12.
Yeah.
And I've been running high overboard on them for so many years. I can't even imagine that.
Well, it was low last time. It was 24.
Yeah, that was when we had first realized the infection was going on again.
Would say, you know your antimicrobials best, whatever ones you think, but I would say the Oregon grape might be a good one for that.
Yep.
Something with berberine in it.
Yeah, I'm going back to the ones that I had been on. I had changed things up a little bit, so I'm going back to the ones that I had been on because obviously it's the same strain.
Yeah.
And when I saw that monocyte number, I wondered if maybe the Epstein-Barr virus hasn't raised its ugly head and said, seems like a good time to come out and play with the other guys.
Well, monocytes is it could be that you are moving into the healing stage of this because the monocytes get elevated at the end.
Yeah.
The neutrophils at the beginning and bacterial. So it could be that you're in the healing phase of it, but you've always had relatively high monocytes. So there's been this chronic thing. So it could be the EBV, but it could be related to this. Because the EBV, I don't know.
Yep.
We might see more.
So everything seems to be working pretty well. If I can get through each one of these crises and somehow Jesus is going to get me through them.
And you know, the thoughts like we talked about in the last call, right? Really just focusing on doing that heart math. And I know you have had this throughout, but I keep hearing those words, like the terminal word coming out of your mouth periodically, is like knowing that this is a blip, that you're being given this challenge to deal with, and just always pulling yourself back into your breath.
I'm deep into the planning on the next phase. And that website that you're going to help me make.
I would love to help you make that. Awesome. I was thinking about you the last few days and I've been like, I got to get on Facebook and, Facebook Messenger. And every time I'm like, I'll be thinking about you. And then I'm off the something. And then I forget to do it. So I'm so glad to see you here today.
I'm glad to see everybody, really. But I've got to spend a lot of horizontal time now.
Go rest and take care of yourself.
That's swelling. The edema has hit me, and it's the worst news of all right now, which is one of the reasons we've got to work so hard to get this done.
But get that potassium, get those electrolytes up to help with the heart. But also the heart is affected by the thoughts, right? So laying down and going to your happy place, going out in your garden. And
position. Well, I can't go out in the garden at all.
No, I mean in your mind.
In my mind, I can. I've got to stay in this position where my legs are like this and they're above my heart.
Right.
But there's only a 12 inch square that I can breathe in right now. Okay. I can only breathe upright and I can only breathe at a certain angle back to a certain angle forward. And that amounts to about 12 inches.
Wow.
And I'm a side sleeper. I cannot sleep on my back. So it's created a very big sleep issue. But in order for my swelling to drain backwards towards my body and get that fluid out, I've got to assist it physically by getting in this position. And I need to stay in it for a lot longer, where I tend to get up when I have energy and sit. That's the worst position of all, because it cuts off the circulation.
Resist that urge, right? Flow. That's the kid in the candy store syndrome. I've got energy now. I'm going to go do this work. Yeah. And I would say really spend a lot of time in your garden, up in your brain.
Yeah, up in my head. And then my husband's been really fantastic. We've come up with all kinds of little exercises. And he massages my legs, and he lifts some, does leg lifts, and massages in a downward motion to help pull some of that fluid.
The foot, if you can do this with the foot, that helps too, to pump that. And if you actively do it versus him passively, if you can do that, because that's going to help the musculature in the calves to be able to pump the lymphatics back up.
Yep. So that's what we're working very hardly on, all of that. And, you know, I just want to thank you again for giving me that future dream. You know, at first I thought, oh yeah, that's a great idea, but I won't be here. And now it's like, no, I want that. Yes. I like that idea.
Yes.
That's what I've always wanted. I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher. Yeah.
I'm not a seller. I'm a teacher. I just want other people to have all the things that I've learned all through my life.
Right. Right.
I don't want to go home with all of this stuff inside of me.
Nope.
And I can't tell it to anybody. No. Nope. Everybody can do this. I did it myself.
Yeah.
Conversations with God, walks with God. You know, I don't want it to all go away. I was going to write a book, you know. Anyway, thank you for putting
you
that.
You will do it. You'll teach it through words, because that's how you're very expressive, and you're going to get it all out there. And you don't have to sit down and write if that's like tedious. You're going to do it through your thoughts, and I'll help you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mitch. I really appreciate that.
Yes.
You really have given me a kind of a heart for that now. So that's another happy place I can visit with the garden.
You can just do that and just see all the people that you are helping by sharing the wisdom that you've learned.
Kind of fun. Several of my friends have thought, you know, we've had all these years and we could have done and we never got around to, and now it's, and I said, yep. And I'm coming out the other side, and I'm going to put together a website, and it's going to have all those little instructions for all you guys, because we never did get around to doing it.
Yep. We're going to do it. Yes.
It's not going to die even if I do.
So know that all of these folks have you in their hearts and are sending you prayers and love and healing, right?
And I said, send you love and healing too, guys. Mm-hmm. Just think about the wonderful things you can do with your body, even in the midst of a crisis. Right. God is still working in there. My thyroid's been healed since this came about. I have perfect thyroid lineup. Perfect. And we never even started working on that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. My red cells, my white cells, my gosh, it's the best numbers in 40 years. And I'm still in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Miracle, right? It's a miracle. So you go lay down, because we want you to put all your energy towards that inner healing. So you go lay down and you just put yourself into your garden and into the teachings that you're going to share with people. And you're going to see yourself whole and healed.
I love you guys.
Love you too. Mwah. Okay. Thank you, Diana. All right. Thank you. So Denise and then Wheaton. There's a little doggy.
I know. He's just being a pill right now. But he's... three of them right around.
Just like the babies when they're little kids, and you know, they're all good and handy. They're watching, doing whatever. And then as soon as you get on the phone or a friend comes over, boom, they need your attention.
Are we talking about celebrations?
Start with a celebration, yes.
I finished a 5-day fasting with food.
Yeah, you started early. How?
I did. I started early. It was great. I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't drink, and I still haven't drank at all. I know. And that's my celebration. So
I'm excited for you. I saw some pictures you posted this morning of the tacos. I can't wait to make those tacos. I love those tacos.
They're so good. I really enjoyed it. So That was
good. Yay, celebration. Yay. Any questions or support you need?
No, no, not right yet. Thank you. After listening to Diana, just everything just kind of, I have to rethink. But we'll talk later. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back around if you need. So let's, I love to start with celebration. So let's go to Wheaton and start with a celebration. And then we can talk about what's going on. You had a celebration in your thing.
I did. I'm on day three of the fasting while feasting, or feasting while fasting. I can't keep that
fasting
straight.
While feasting.
Fasting while feasting. I've been feeling great until about an hour ago. So I'm happy, other than this past hour, I'm happy how the past 3 days have been. My gut's felt the best it has in 2 months probably.
Nice.
So yes, I'm very happy about that.
So it just is giving you a sense of like you found something. Maybe it was the tomatoes, maybe it was some of the spices, maybe it was the garlic. And you know what I would do with that is look at the ingredients that were in the tomato sauce, whatever, the soup that you made, and then look at what might have been different or different either that was you hadn't eaten over the last couple of days or larger quantities. My suspicion could be the tomatoes, but hard to say.
Okay, I'll look into that.
Yeah, yeah. And so your question was about FODMAPs and oxalates.
Yes, is there a good site that you can recommend that has a combination of the two? Because I realize for some diets, like blueberries are great, but the other diet, I can't have blueberries.
Yeah, I know. So it's really hard. I think the best pages for what to do for low FODMAP is mine, quite frankly. And it's on the digestion, right? If you go into the digestion stuff, let me see if I can find it. But it's a really cool 5-page chart that I put together that gives, it's a combination of specific carbohydrate and FODMAP. So I would start with that because it takes off. If you look at the regular FODMAP diet things, they have really bad crap on them. Like, oh, you can have bourbon. Like, seriously? Like, we're trying to heal our gut and you want me to have bourbon, right? And there's a lot of animal products on them. So I did the plant-based version. And of course you can add, you know, whatever else, but you do vegan anyway. So that's a great one. I'll find that link right now. But what I would recommend, and let me pull it up, because what I would recommend is for low oxalates, Susan Owens has a really good, she has a Facebook group and a site. Let me just go into here. I can't talk and can manipulate. No, I don't see it open. My services, my sites. I'll share my screen in a second as soon as I find the site.
That's who I go to for that.
What's that?
That's who I go to.
But the Susan Owens.
Okay.
Yeah, she is good. She has good stuff. Now there's one chart and I don't remember where I found it. I have it stored somewhere that's low oxalates, but it's not just this is low, this is medium, this is high. It actually has amounts. And so you can say, well, for 3 ounces of this, it has this many oxalates and you should be keeping, you'll find for yourself, like if it's a severe low oxalate thing, you don't want to go all the way and remove all the oxalates right away, because you'll have a dumping reaction. So you just gradually reduce. It's not a long-term thing for most, right? It's not. So we need to look at, I don't remember if you had that in your genetics, but look at the metabolic healing report.
Okay.
The report, and it's towards the back and it'll say whether there's genetic tendencies, but looking at your numbers weren't that high. I mean, your oxalate, you didn't have the two, intermediates, metabolites, but you just have the oxalate themselves. And I think a lot of it has to do with the candida overgrowth.
Okay. My stool test came in literally 30 seconds after I hung up my call with Lisa last week, the day after I talked to you. Yes. And she quickly sent me an email saying, yes, look into the low oxalates and combine with the low FODMAP for the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's going to say. But when you do the oxalate part, you can go cold turkey off FODMAPs, but with the oxalates, go slowly.
Okay.
Go slowly. Just reduce it and keep it within a reasonable range. So I'm going to show you share screen. And, you know, just so everybody knows, we're not just like randomly saying she needs low oxalates. It was based on her test results. Empowered self-care. Okay, here we go. If I scroll down to digestion, gut repair, I think it's in like the third module in there. Let's see. Part three, upper GI. Yeah, it's probably in here or no, it's probably in here. Special protocols. And yeah, so it's there. Let's see. Here we go. I'll just put the link in the chat so you don't have to go crazy looking for it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Chat. Got you on my two screens now. Okay, why is this taking so long to open? Somebody else click it and see if it opens for you. It's like taking, it's my computer. Yeah, it could be the 27 tabs I have open. Nope, that's
I don't see it in the chat.
I thought I put it in there.
Oh, this is great. I can see it on your screen share.
You can, yeah. Okay, so what I put together, this is actually not the most recent one. So I'm gonna see if I can find the most recent one and share it. Let me find it. I think it's, I was at a shiny, I'll show you this one and then I'll send you the updated one. It's not that much different. It just has better instructions. So basically okay. This is a combined, the way I had it, the other one, no, let me find the other one. Cause the other one had it by vegetables, fruits, beans. It was really, really well organized. Let me find it. See if I can find it on the digestion. I need to get somebody to like make me a nice master list of every one of my PDFs so that we can find them. Let's see. Here, it's probably in here. SIBO, SCD, and FODMAPs. Here we go.
Do we have access to this site that you're on?
This, if you join NEPT, you do. This is the NEPT.
Oh, okay.
This is the practitioner site. Okay, let's see. Modified carbohydrate. I'm hoping this is the one. No, that's not the one. It might be by food category. Here we go. Put this up. I can give you the link to this document. It just, you can't get access to the membership site because unless you're a member. This is the one. Oops. Why is it not letting me? There we go. See if that's it. There you go. So basically gives you instructions, but this is what I love about this. It's the vegetables and then there's the legal. So the green column would be everything that's allowed on both in a low FODMAP and SCB, SCD, and also SIBO. So if you could stick to like for, like it says in here, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, you eat only the green column in all these different categories, right? You're going to be safe.
Okay.
Okay. And then when you're ready to go, okay, it's like an elimination diet. You do it for a few weeks and then you go, okay, what are the things in this, in the yellow column that I am missing the most? And then you add them. So, you know, the tomatoes are high, are, you know, moderate FODMAPs. Some of the other things in that might've been a FODMAP reaction. It might've been an allergy reaction that you had to the soup. So then you can go, okay, what can I add in these different categories? And then if you do well with that, then you can start playing with this, the higher FODMAP ones. This is, I say, most of this stuff should be avoided, especially while you still have gut, because you had the SIBO breath test and it came up, you know, moderately elevated. So this is the stuff you're going to stay away from. These you might be staying away from for several months.
Okay.
Okay. But when,
sorry. If I see oxalates in the green column, should I just take those out slowly?
So that's what I would, yes, okay. That's what I would do. I would look at this green column and then I'd look at your oxalate foods and you go, whoops, this one's high in oxalates. But again, like I said, go slow with the oxalates.
Right.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yep. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And if anybody else wants that chart, you just copy it from the from there. I think I'm going to replace.
So I have a question, Dr. Rita Marie.
Sure.
Regarding the oxalates. So I too have a high oxalate content in my blood. So did you show the oxalate in a relation to that chart?
I don't have a chart. Excuse me. I don't know. Sorry. My smoothie went down the wrong pipe. Okay. So that's Gina. Is that Gina?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have a specific chart for oxalates because there's so many of them on the internet. It just wasn't worth the time for me to go through it. But the ones on like Susan Owens' site, whether it's her Facebook group or the site, is good. And then I think hers is the one that gives you the amounts. I have one that I downloaded years ago and it's like, it'll show like kale has this much per serving where spinach has this much. So for example, like dinosaur kale is like, I don't know, 35 or something per serving. I don't know what the serving size is versus spinach, which is 900 versus the curly kale, which is 400. So if you use that as a guideline and like we were saying, if you do need to do both FODMAPs and the oxalates, then you just take that, you take the chart, the FODMAP chart that I just showed you, and then you just cross off anything that's higher oxalate, or you write the amount that you can have. And that's the same thing with the FODMAPs. It'll say, if you have this much of this food, it's gonna be low FODMAP, but if you have this much of it, it's gonna be higher FODMAP. And so you can just adjust the amount that you have of different foods to keep the levels within a good guideline.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Okay. Great. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. So who else? I'd love to hear from somebody else. And Gina, do you have any celebrations you want to share?
Yes, I do. So I too am part of the feasting while fasting and I'm on my second day and I feel a difference in my energy level.
Nice.
And my blood sugar has just come down today. I mean, I've only started testing it since Sunday.
Yeah.
From 91 to 80.
Today. Nice. That is a fasting. Good. That's great.
In my ketones, it was 0.5 on Sunday and then it was 0.91 this morning. So
it's going in the right direction.
Yeah. And then,
you know, it's so amazing how quickly your body's, when you take away things that are hurting them and you add in things that are helping, how quickly. And sometimes we don't identify them right away, but it's amazing the miracles that our bodies are, that it can respond that quickly.
And the thing that I wanted to share is that I started taking the supplements that Lisa recommended the day I received them, right? Like last Friday. Yep. And within that 4 days that I've been taking them, I really noticed a sense of I don't know, being lifted up. Mm-hmm. It's really, it feels good inside that I know I have a little bit more energy now compared to what I've been going through.
Yeah.
Just for that little amount of time that I've been focusing on what do I really need to concentrate on hitting those pocket areas, right? Yeah. So I'm getting emotional, but because it's just
good. That's good.
The way it just so happened fast for me, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the other thing that's happening, Dr. Rita Marie, is I'm getting these breakouts or rashes now in my fingers. I had them about a month ago and I shared them with you. And now they're breaking out in different parts now of my fingers. Bumps, reds.
Are they oozing?
Not this time. Last month it was oozing.
Okay.
This time it wasn't. It's definitely bruises inside. There's wounds inside.
Okay. So there's some. So here's the thing about skin. Skin is your biggest detoxification organ, right? And so if your gut is stopped up, you know, like you're not eliminating all your toxins in your stool, you're going to eliminate it through your skin. is very common to have breakouts. And someone else was on the Fasting While Feasting call last night, and she said that she has an issue where she goes, she's done fasting before, but every time she gets into ketosis, without even measuring it, she knows she's in ketosis because she breaks out in this whole body rash. Right. So it could be the gut, right? You're not eliminating everything. If your gut tends to be a little more sluggish, especially if you're accelerating the detox with doing this fasting thing, then you have to be making sure that you're clearing out your bowels. And then if there are gut bugs, I don't know which tests come back. Have come back for you yet? Has your stool test come back yet?
Yeah, they all have come back, and Lisa did identify I do have some bugs or bacteria that
So all of that stuff. So addressing the stuff that we're working on, you may see a flare of a skin before it gets better, right? And maybe like this woman, maybe you are sensitive to when you get into ketosis and you're in that maximum autophagy where your body's like, yeah, let's kill all this stuff, then it can cause you to have to eliminate. And if your bowels aren't able to do it fully, those toxins recycle and they come out through the skin. So I would keep an eye on it. As far as, is it itchy or painful at all?
It's tender. And I got those therapeutic waxes, paraffin waxes that I soak them in.
Yep.
And that seems to help. And to kind of soften them.
Right.
They're tender to touch, definitely tender.
Okay. And the specific little lesions, for lack of a better word, pimples, whatever you want to call them, those are tender as opposed to the whole fingers being tender.
Correct.
Yeah. So things you can do, there's some things that are very soothing for the skin. Calendula is a very soothing herb for the skin. And you can oftentimes get them in like a beeswax calendula type of a thing that you can put on it. And you might want to do to help really have that in there is you put that on and then maybe get some gloves. You know, the old gloves we used to wear when we were, I don't know if you did, but when I was a kid, on Easter, they would get us the little white gloves, right? Those kinds of gloves, a thin cotton glove to just hold that so that it's not, oozing out or wrapping bandages around it to keep the calendula close in there. That can be helpful. The other thing, depending on what it is, if you have a bacterial thing in your gut, maybe there's some bacterial stuff that's affecting the fingers, Oregon grapefruit. And what you can do is you can get the actual pieces of Oregon grapefruit and you can put them into a pot and you can boil it. And you simmer it for like, I would say an hour because they're really thick. And then you take the liquid off of that and you can actually put it on as compresses on your hand. So that's another thing that you can try. And the third thing that I would say is there's an herb called yarrow. And yarrow is very good at helping things to heal. And you can get that it may exist, but I've never actually seen a yarrow cream, but it's easy to make your own. I mean, it's easy to just get the herb and see if you got it in powdered form. I mean, you can certainly get it. You wouldn't have to simmer it for as long because it's more of a flower. It's actually really good for stopping bleeding. So if they tend to have the oozing and bleeding, it's really good for that. So yarrow, I'm trying to think what the best way to do that would be. I think you can actually get the powder. Mountain Rose Herbs has it in powdered form. And you can mix that in coconut oil. This might be the best way. You mix it in, melt some coconut oil. This time of year, coconut oil is going to be solid because it's cold. But right. If you melt it, you mix the yarrow in and then you let it go back to solid again. Now you'll have a cream that you can put on the hands. And so those are three different things that you can try to help to give you symptomatic relief. But I think keeping your gut moving. So if you do have regular bowel movements,
I do.
You do? Okay. So you don't need to do an enema then? You do it two or three times a day, you have bowel movements?
At least twice.
Okay. All right. So the enemas aren't going to be necessary. That's good. Because those aren't.
What about clay?
Clay can be great. Green clay can be super important. Bentonite clay can be super helpful. And you can just make it.
Pull it out.
You can pull out, exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. You can actually get the clay in powder form, mix it in and make a little, and then you put it on. And it's like, you know, the masks that people put on the faces, it's like that. So you can put it on there and just leave them, you know, you maybe put a glove over it or something. That might work better with like a plastic, like a, if you're only going to do it for a short time, like one of those kitchen cleanser gloves or a surgical type gloves to just keep that in there. And then you rinse it off in 30 minutes to 60 minutes. That's a very good point. Yay, Donna.
So keep it for about 20 minutes.
I would say 30.
30 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. I would say 30.
Cause I do have bentonite clay. So that's good. Yep. I was going to do some for my face, but I'm going to add my hands now.
You add your hands to it.
So thank you.
You're welcome. Good job. Yeah, it'll happen. I mean, I think it's great that you're doing the cleanse here. I'm on day 3. Yay. And I'm trying to drink my smoothie, but it's not happening. I have too much going on. I'll do it after I run.
So I heard that water, you don't drink. Is that right? Is that what I heard? You don't drink water?
Absolutely drink water.
Okay. So what was that Denise was talking about? She's not drinking.
Alcohol. Wine. Oh, alcohol.
Never mind. I misinterpreted the whole conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out in case somebody else had that. Yeah. So it's like, okay, no more wine.
Okay. So yes, thank you.
Yeah. Fasting and drinking wine don't really go together. Cleansing and drinking wine don't go together, right? So yeah, the liver's trying to clean out and you're giving it more work.
Got it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah. Water's critical. I mean, I sit here with my big jug of water and I fill my smaller one and I drink it all day.
Got it.
Who else has questions, comments, need help? Yeah. Catherine. And so start with a celebration. I know you said the other day you weren't feeling well, so I want to hear.
Yeah. Still not feeling well. My celebration would be that, last week, I actually managed to decorate the outside of my house for Christmas.
Wow.
Which I haven't done for the past 2 years because I haven't had the energy or whatever to do it. So I got that done. I paid for it afterwards, but I got it done. So,
well, that sometimes happens when we overdo, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So not feeling well at all this week.
Tell me more about that. We were on that other call the other night and there wasn't a lot of time to dig in.
Yeah.
But that's the opportunity. What does that mean to you, not feeling well?
So the achiness, like you have the flu, but you don't have the flu.
Mm-hmm. Are you taking your temperature?
I'm low. I'm always low. I tend to be in the, when I took it, it was like 94.
That's super low. Okay.
My normal is in the 90.
Whoops, you froze. What's your normal? 97?
Super low.
Okay.
Like low 97s is where I normally am. So for me, 99 is definitely a fever.
Yeah.
But the achiness, the fatigue, the not sleeping well because of pain. So I don't fall asleep when I really should. So my hours are totally whacked out right now. So my circadian rhythm is like non-existent. But the achy pain and just feeling ugh. And then brain fog has been definitely an issue.
Was there something that triggered this to start? Like, you know, you said, oh, I was exposed to my cousin and they had a cold and now I feel like I'm getting it. Or was there anything that shifted, any exposures, any supplements that you changed, anything?
The only thing I've changed is I've been really, really good about time restricted eating and about, you know, like changing up. So like some days I'm at like 600 calories, some days I'm at 1200 calories.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to
body guessing.
Right, keep it guessing. I haven't done the fasting while feasting because it's just I can't even think about making this stuff. Mm-hmm.
It's like you might be doing it anyway, right? You're doing the 600, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm eating protein, but Lisa says I need a lot more protein than I'm getting. Mm-hmm. I get about maybe 40, 50 grams of protein a day. She says I really need to shoot for 90.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
5'8", yeah, okay. And how, see, I usually go by activity and size, right? Obviously your frame, if you're 5'8 versus 5'2", you've got a lot more muscle to support, a lot more bone to support, a lot more of everything to support than somebody who's 5'2". But it's also your activity level too. So if you were to be lifting weights, then you need more. If you're not, then you need less. So yeah, 80, 90 is probably reasonable. Were you on the call the other day with the labs? You were.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were so many labs that I can't remember whose was who. So I don't remember if you had issues with the protein and with the BUN and.
No, I didn't. I had my leptin was super high. My fasting insulin was high. All my blood sugar markers were high. My mm-hmm. inflammation markers were all high, but everything else was like pretty much within the within either optimal or kind of, you know,
lightly out, yeah,
close enough for government.
What about your thyroid numbers? Remind me about your thyroid numbers.
My thyroid numbers are all actually looking good right now. My antibodies have come way down. I used to be in the 30s and 40s, and now I'm like in the teens.
Okay, that's major improvement. Yeah. Okay. So,
and
as far as this achiness, right? Do you ever do things like Epsom salt baths?
Yeah, but I haven't done one in a long time. Maybe I should do them again.
I think Epsom salt baths are a great way to get the magnesium into your system. And sometimes you're not feeling well enough to even feel like you want to go into that. But you could do you know, boil some water, put the Epsom salts in it and make towels and put them on the areas that are achy. It's not going to be as good as doing, because when you're immersed in it and your body's hot and it just absorbs all that magnesium. And then upping your magnesium a little bit and turmeric and ginger. Do you have gut stuff? Gut inflammation?
I don't know. I haven't done the gut test yet because trying to find the optimal time to do it, because I have intermittent bleeding. And I hadn't had a period in like months and months. And now all of a sudden I'm the last like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I'm having like one day a week.
Okay. Definitely in that perimenopausal.
Yeah. Some kind of messed up.
Have you done the Dutch test yet?
No, same reason, trying to figure out when.
You don't know where in your cycle you are.
Do right. It in terms of cycle.
Right.
Right, I've no.
And what about fatty acids? Fatty acids are super important for, have you
so
done
So Lisa that? Suggested I.
Whoops.
I haven't done that test yet, I need to do that.
Okay, so in the meantime, what I would do is look at your intake. So you can use our chart. We have an Excel sheet, or you can go into Chronometer and just put in your foods that, you know, even if you don't have the energy to put all of them in, just at least put any of the foods that would have significant amount of fats. And let's see what your omega-6 3 ratio is, because that could be way off. And there's so much that goes into that. There's the B vitamins and the conversions and the C and all that. But I mean, I think in terms of just helping you with whatever this achiness is about, right? It's inflammatory markers, is getting the inflammation down. So do you take any omega-3s?
I take fish oil.
How much?
I don't remember right now off the top of my head, but it's like about 1,000 or so.
Okay, 1,000 total between DHA and EPA.
Yeah, I can look it up.
You can double that.
Double it?
Okay. Yeah, because it's really going to be helpful for the, even without looking at it, we'll be able to really fine tune it when you get the blood spot fatty acid test done. But at least I would say double that. Are you taking in ginger or turmeric?
No.
Okay, so here's one of the cool things with ginger. It can bring down pain really well really quickly. Same thing with turmeric. And what I've had people do is take a big old hunk of ginger and then a smaller, maybe a fourth of that amount of turmeric, and put them in the blender. If you don't have a juicer, if you have a juicer, you put them in the juicer. But if you have a don't, you put them in the blender with water, and then you blend it up till it's liquid, and then you strain it through like a cheesecloth or a nut milk bag or something along those lines. And you make this really great potent ginger juice, ginger turmeric juice. And you can add a little lemon or lime to it, and then water. And you just basically take like an ounce of that every hour or two, mixed in water with lemon. You know, it could be hot water, it's cold time of year, you know, whatever it takes to make it pleasant. You put a little stevia in it if you want, Lohan. And then you have this drink. I remember early days of my practice and recommending this to somebody, a guy who had this back pain. And I was working on him in the office, and I told him to do this with the ginger. And he's the one that really brought out, like, his response to it made me realize that we have to take it regularly. He says, I would take the ginger juice, and then my back will feel great. And then after about 2 or 3 hours, I'd start to feel the pain come back. So I'd take the ginger juice again, and it would go away. And he figured out how often he needed to take it to make his back pain go away. Right. So it's potent, right? I took it after surgery when I had broken my arm, and I had a displaced bone, and I had to have surgery on it. And I was taking this ginger juice with vitamin C, turmeric, and ginger. And I was just drinking it like throughout the day, like every hour or two, I'd have some more. And it was phenomenal. I didn't have to take any medication. I took one dose of Advil about, you know, 6 hours after the, no, it was probably 12 hours after the surgery, it was probably 24 hours after the surgery, but because it got so bad, and I took it, and that was it. That was the only thing. And then after that, it was just my ginger juice. So you would give that a try. You can make it a nice pleasant tea, or you can make it a lemonade with ginger. Phenomenal for that, the pain. And the magnesium is the other thing, because of the achy, you know, the achiness. I always think, you know, things like magnesium.
Cool. So it's ginger and turmeric. And how much of each?
And if you don't have both, if you just have one or can't get the other fresh, no big deal. Just use the ginger and add some powdered turmeric to it. So I would say, this big a piece of ginger, like one of those big old heads of ginger.
Yeah.
And then maybe a fourth of that worth of turmeric.
Okay. So like,
yeah,
4 to 1 essentially.
Yeah. Approximately. It's all, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all approximate. And then you blend that up. If you have a juicer, just run it through your juicer. If you don't have a juicer, then put it in the blender and then run it through cheesecloth or a nut milk bag or something that's very fine, fine mesh type of thing, to get out all the stringy stuff, because the blender doesn't get rid of it all. Now you have this nice juice.
Cool. I will try that.
Okay.
I've also noticed that just as of yesterday, kind of on top of it, I've noticed depression symptoms set in too. Mm-hmm. And I'm not used to having those symptoms.
So this is a new thing. Oops.
I mean, my doctors think I'm depressed, but I don't think I'm depressed.
So tell me, what symptoms are you feeling when you say depression?
The total lack of motivation, the wanting to just lay on the couch all day, that goes beyond the fatigue part,
mm-hmm.
but that goes to the just, you know, crawl under a quilt and not do anything. And
how long has this been going on?
It's not feeling sad. It's not doing that. That just started like yesterday.
Okay. Watch that. Okay. So that says to me dopamine. That like really flies, like dopamine imbalance will cause that lack of motivation. And you just don't have the oomph to do things. So see if that's like, if it's just a temporary thing, there may be some imbalance, but it could be, you know, not absorbing your protein really well, not getting that amino acid, that tyrosine, or having low tyrosine foods because you're not feeling well, you're not eating as much. Maybe that's creating an imbalance there. So you can do a couple of things. You can go into Chronometer and type in tyrosine as a nutrient, and it'll go ask the whatever they call it, ask the expert, whatever. And in there, you put it in there, and it'll tell you what the high tyrosine foods are. And you can focus on tyrosine foods and B6 foods, the two of those together. You know, and another option is, without seeing your Dutch test and seeing what your adrenals are doing, I can just guess, but I think that there's an herb called macuna pruriens, that actually is a precursor of dopamine.
Okay.
It'll dope it in it. And you can use that. You can stick it in a smoothie. You can put it in a tea. You can just use it as a food. And you might even, I don't know how it would taste in there, but it might even stick it in your ginger lemonade. And it might just give you an uplift. But that sounds like we have to see where you're going with dopamine. And the Dutch test does have a section where it looks at neurotransmitter activity.
Cool.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Anybody else? Donna, do you have something there? You're the only one left. So there might be other people, but they're not on screen.
So I have something to show you. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I hope she's showing us more Legos.
I know. I love, look at her. She has a Lego desk. Oh my God. How long did that take you to do? That is awesome.
Only four days.
4 days. Oh my God.
Do you work for Lego?
Does she work for Lego?
I should, but no. That would be like the best job ever. <Wouldn't it?
laughs> That's so good. And it's given you a sense of
accomplishment.
Well,
and it's so relaxing for me.
Yeah.
Oh, but it does affect me physically, like my hands, you know, because a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And then, you know, the leaning down, you know, that right back in here.
Yeah. So you know, you could
give myself a break. Yeah.
You know what you should, do you have a foam roller?
Yeah.
Okay. So be on there, you know, working on your Legos for an hour and then get off and for 30 seconds, roll yourself out on the foam roller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Those things we don't think about doing.
Right? Yeah, I know. So I just wanted to let you know, like my son and I were going to do the fasting thing. But we had to ended up going to the holistic doctor yesterday, and that's like a, you know, 3-hour drive, and you know, there and back. And then so then I get a migraine. I went to bed like 6 o'clock. It's like I'm gonna learn about it and then do it in another time.
Right. Or do it in a few days. You don't have to do it right away. You can.
Well, we don't even have like the stuff to do it, you know, because I didn't even get the information like printed out and all that to actually look at what foods and everything till Sunday. So I didn't even have, so we still need time to, you know,
get to the grocery store,
get the food and, you know, all that sort of thing. So,
yeah. Well, just so you know, the foods are not hard. They're not hard to find foods. They're just groceries.
No, it's not hard to find, but we don't usually go grocery shopping on the weekends. We stay away from there.
Okay, because of the crowds and stuff.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, yeah, whenever, you know, if you can get him on board to do it with you.
He wants to.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
And we have another situation that, you know what I've been going through forever, and I finally, you know how like it's always me who goes away for 3 weeks, or you know, went to the apartment, and you know, but unfortunately, seeing as nothing gets taken care of here at home, then I end up coming back, and I've actually convinced my husband for him to be the one that goes away in the apartment for a few months.
Oh. So, and now you have your beautiful space that you've created for yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Now, but what about your son though, during that time? I mean, is he going to go back and forth, or are you going to have him 100%?
Well, I'll have him 100%, but you know, he'll go and visit, you know, numerous times a week, or, you know,
when you'll have a time away when they're both.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, he'll be able to spend the night over there at least once, you know, a week, which will, you know, give me more time.
Right.
So I am so looking I cannot even tell you.
When is this going to happen?
You sign the papers today.
Right. So soon, like within a couple of weeks before Christmas or after Christmas?
Oh, we don't do holidays, so it doesn't really matter. You don't.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. Okay, yeah, that's very cool, because I know how great that was for you when you were in that apartment for 3 months. You know, it was like, you just like, it was night and day.
It was completely. And I need that so bad. And even when he, you know, finally told me that he was going to, it's like, I could just feel, even though it was still stressful now, I can just feel that weight, you know, just totally dropping off me, because now I can plan, you know, like. And so I told, you know, Xander, I said, we are eating clean and we are going to start getting in routines of doing things. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's going to be about totally that? Different. So that is like, that? Was so he fighting excited it? For me. That's I'm sorry. Great.
He wasn't fighting it then. He was good. He was good with it.
Not this time.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my excitement.
Yay! Because I know the difference. It was a nice day for you when you did that. It was so great. And yay. And you're partially doing it here, creating your little beautiful space.
Yeah, starting and trying to get back to who, you know, me, who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
There's nothing as far as nutrition wise that has changed yet, so.
But it will, because I know that when you're doing that, a lot of it was he has all this stuff in the house and you're like, oh, well, how am I going to resist the ice cream? How am I going to, you know, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Good.
I mean, he even, you know, asked me yesterday, you know, to go, oh, do you want to go to a restaurant and get some food? And it's like,
no.
And I texted him back. I'm like, I need you to understand. It's like, understand me when I'm talking to you. It's like, it's beyond
help, so. I'm happy for you. Thank you for sharing that.
So that's my excitement.
Good. Yay. All right, so there I see three new faces on the screen. Yay. I see Jenny and Peggy and Sandra. So who has something you want to share and need help with?
Jenny. Question.
Oops, well, Jenny had her hand up first. Do you guys want to battle it out? Like,
no, I want Jenny to go.
You want Jenny to go? Okay, good. Thank you. I don't have to make the decision.
Mine should be short.
Okay.
So I at the last minute, I got my act together and started the fasting with feasting. Had some trouble with getting it all happening, but I'm doing it. I want it, and it feels pretty good. I'm not sure so far, but I don't notice anything huge, but I think I feel
like. How many days are you in? You are
today's the third, but the first day I didn't really get anything done until the later in the day, because I had to go to the store that morning because they, for various reasons, but I couldn't find everything that I needed, even though it was at Whole Foods. So.
What are you missing?
Well, I don't remember right now, but what I wanted to ask you about was coconut, because I have this idea that I have a coconut issue. And so I talked to Patty, I think, and she said, well, why don't you just try it? So, you know, that first recipe with the Thai soup?
Thai green soup, yeah.
Right. And so I'm also, you know, with the brain fog, I messed up and I didn't buy any curry. I tried to make it. And then it was for four times as much. And I ended up putting it in the first batch. But I don't do the hot stuff because I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, like nightshade type things like
right,
that.
Right.
I just can't do it. So I didn't do it. But then that night, the next morning, sort of in early morning, I woke up with my legs were really stiff and, you know, kind of like rigid.
Do you typically have trouble with, is that why you avoid nightshades, because you get joint stiffening or inflammation from it?
You know, I'm not sure.
Because you combine two different things, right? If you typically don't eat nightshades and you had coconut and you typically don't eat coconut, we don't know which one would have caused that. And my hunch would be it was the spices and the nightshades, right?
I avoided anything that I recognized would not work.
Okay, so you did. So
I didn't keep,
here's what I would do. I would do substitutions. I think that the time to test certain things is not during this cleansing process.
Okay. It would be
after. So if a recipe calls for, like that recipe called for both avocado and coconut, you know, and people said, I can't do avocado, so just do more coconut. I can't do coconut, just do more avocado. So
I have been doing more avocado because I can't.
Because of that. Yeah. And it's for creaminess, right? So we have to think about why is a certain ingredient in a recipe. For that one, it was creaminess. You could have just blended any vegetables you wanted with any fat you wanted, with any spices you wanted, and come up with a soup.
Okay.
Right? And it's still, and you could do that throughout, right? Is to substitute the things you can tolerate with not, and you may come up with an amazing recipe that you want to share with the rest of us, right? That comes out really good.
Okay, great. That's really all I needed to know but so far it's been interesting. And I made my little, whatever those are, granola. Oh,
the granolas. Awesome. Everybody loved those last time. So it's like a little extra treat. I didn't make them. I didn't have time to make them. So I didn't do that. I left it out. But everybody loved those last time. They just thought it was just such a treat. And you recognize that the recipe calls for like 1/10 of the, you know, the serving size is 1/10 of the recipe because it's pretty potent.
Yeah. All right. I'm good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny. Okay, Peggy.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Sure. I am doing, Lisa wanted me to do green drinks. And just because of my plumbing and system, mm-hmm. you know, it takes me at first when I tried them that one time with you, I'd gotten sick all the time. And so what I've done is I'm watering them down. Okay. And of course, it's taken me all day to drink my juice. And then I, you know, but at least I'm getting it down, you know, and I'm not throwing up. And so I feel good about that. But, I was thinking of doing your fast and whatever.
Fasting while feasting. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, well, how can I really do that when it takes me all day to drink something?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not getting true blood sugars or anything.
Yeah, but you're also, if you're taking all day to drink a green juice and it's a low glycemic, which you always do anyway, and it's right. You tolerate, you know, this was created to follow certain guidelines that would mimic fasting. And guess what else mimics fasting? Fasting. So people right. say, well, I haven't
had. You know, and then that's what I was like, well, I'm kind of already always fasting. You know, is this really going to be beneficial to me? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yours is a situation where you've had such a reduction in the numbers of foods and we're trying to expand your number of foods.
Right.
A lot of people doing this, we're trying to reduce their numbers of foods because they're still on.
So maybe I shouldn't worry that much about it.
Yeah. So
yeah, because I was going to do it and I tested my ketones and I was 0.3.
Okay, so you are low ketone. So it could be beneficial to do something like this to bring those ketones up, right? So the difference for you might be looking at reducing protein, right? Because it's a low protein. It's a low carb. You're already doing low carb. It's a moderate fat and low protein. That would be the only difference. And then eating, you know, you don't have to drink juices and drinks to do this program, right? People are saying, I don't want to drink it. I'm just going to make a salad out of those ingredients. And so they've done that.
Right. But the thing is I can't eat that much. That's my problem. Right.
You only can eat a little bit. So you have to eat throughout the day, but you can still, I think you can still probably get into ketosis if you keep the protein and the carbohydrates down.
So just do my drink.
Do your drink and then see if you're hungry later. What is it?
Well, I'm never hungry. That's the thing. I mean, the other day I went a day and a half and my husband's like, you have not eaten yet. And I'm
did you test for ketones then? I would have loved to see what your ketones were then.
Yeah, well, see, and that's the whole thing. I'm never hungry. And, you know, it's like, I could go 2 or 3 days. I mean, when my husband was working and traveling, I would go 2 or 3 days and wouldn't even think about eating. It doesn't even enter my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is actually good for you because given your plumbing and given, you know,
right.
stuff, it would help to calm things down. So that might be something, instead of doing this, trying to, you know, jerry rigging, what can I eat? Just do like 2 days.
It's so fast.
Yeah, however long you want. I mean, you could do it for 5, or you could do it for 2 and then eat lightly and then do it for 2 more.
Right.
Right. So that would be Peggy's version of the modified, right? Right. Because the thing is, we're trying to mimic the effects of fasting, and what mimics it better than fasting? A lot of people can't fast. You're telling me it's no problem to do that.
Yeah.
Right. And so you can do it. And then you maybe, you know, if you're getting to the point where you're lightheaded and you need something, you can do a juice or a broth, right? A vegetable broth, the vegetables that you can tolerate. I was telling somebody yesterday, because they were talking about potassium, and a lot of times when we're doing like a low glycemic, we don't get enough potassium because we eliminate the potatoes and the bananas and things, is that you can actually, I don't know if it's one of your foods you tolerate, but you can actually peel the potatoes, give the potato part to the other parts of your family that eat them, and then use the skins and make a really nice broth, mix it with whatever vegetables you tolerate that work well for you, usually like some greens and some cruciferous and some carrots even, if you tolerate them, if they don't raise your blood sugar, and you make a soup and you just drink the broth, right? And that pulls out the potassium. Most of the potassium in the potato is right under the skin. So it's actually used in a lot of cleansing processes called a potassium broth.
Right.
You can actually probably Google potassium broth and find some good, you know.
So should I still try to do the green drink like Lisa wants me to be doing? Because we're trying to get the fiber to get things moving.
Fine, because you want to get things, keep things moving. And I'd, you know, here's the thing, tune into your intuition about it. So I was listening to one of my favorite herbalists last night, and he talked about intuitive eating. He says, some people say intuitive eating, what am I craving? Oh, what am I want? You can't differentiate between cravings and intuitive eating, right? Is it your intuition telling you, or is it that monkey in your brain telling you that you need chocolate right now? You know, so, but he was talking about how, you know, just take that moment before you eat anything, even before you go to the refrigerator or wherever you keep your food, like it should be in the refrigerator, but just do some breaths. And ask your inner guidance, what is it right now that's going to be best for my body to eat?
Okay.
Keep breathing and sit with it. And you maybe, I just think that I can do this naturally now because I've been doing this for so long.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm going to the refrigerator and I can't get enough yogurt and sauerkraut and kimchi, and I'm craving it. And then I'll go, I don't even want any right now. Like it doesn't even appeal to me, or I want just a forkful. And it's tuning in and asking that guidance, what is it that's good for me right now? Would this green drink be helpful? I do it also, you can do it with muscle testing, right? With the
right.
Weight testing, right? Is this good for me right now? Whoa, yeah, baby. I get to eat my yogurt after this. So really tuning in and allowing that intuition to see you. And see, maybe you want to do like a 2-day fast and a 2-day green drink. And that's all you do. I mean, you could do fasting while feasting. If you just did your green drink,
yeah.
And that's all you did every day, you're doing the program.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, and tune in and ask your body, do I need fat right now? Do I need some fat? Maybe you do. Maybe you need a little, and you know, and you haven't added all the nuts and you're still trying to test that. No, what is it? Do I need some MCT oil? Do I need some coconut oil? Do I need no fat? Am I better with just the thing? Maybe some, do you do avocado?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's just your green drink with avocado, and that's what you do for 5 days.
Okay.
And then keep testing your ketones every day to see if they go up. They probably will. And if there's a day you're like, I don't even feel like drinking anything or eating anything, good, don't do it.
Yeah. And so then I should, for the fasting, I should do the blood glucose test as soon as I get up, because I get up and I go, you know, my exercise.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's what your fasting glucose is the first morning, right? And it's not after you exercise, because there's so many variables there. How hard did you exercise? Is it going to make your glucose go up because you got into gluconeogenesis? Is it going to make your glucose go down because it was high and now you're burning it? And there's so many variables there. So the first thing in the morning, I generally test it before, you know, first thing in the morning, and then I'll test it after exercise.
Okay.
It's similar.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Good job. I just saw that we have Sonia.
Hello.
Sandra and then Nancy. So Sandra. So a positive, you know, a celebration first would be helpful, would be great.
Positive. I finally was able to send my gut zoomer test.
Good job.
It was tricky because you cannot be on all the things I used to move my bowels. So you had to produce one solid one and a liquid one. And I just couldn't.
Did that take it? I mean, how do they expect you to produce a liquid one?
I don't know. Finally, what I did is I ate a bunch of prunes, which is food. It's not a laxative, right? It has a laxative effect.
It does, yeah. And so you were able to do
it. So I did that. And I was like, oh my God, I can never gonna be able to do this.
I have to do those. I have a couple of kits here that they sent me and I just haven't done them yet. So
and I do have a show and tell.
Yes.
So I'm doing my granola. As you can see, I ate a chunk of it.
Oh, look at that.
Instead of doing the clamps, I did a pizza kind of.
One like big piece. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, it's going well. I'm on my second day today.
Is it a dehydrator? You dehydrated it?
Yeah. It's okay. A cheapy one that I have. But it's great for doing those kind of things. For the nuts and you cannot do bread in them or anything because you don't have enough height to lift the
place.
But it works.
It works.
So yeah, everything is going good. I tried your recipes, they're pretty delicious.
Yay.
So it's feeling more like something special and not like, oh my God.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that because that's why I created it. Like people say, oh my God, do I have to make all this stuff and it's a lot of food. But on the other hand, I could have made a really simple plan and people were like, do I have to do this again for another day? Whereas, oh, I get to make the walnut tacos tonight and oh, this green soup is so good. And yeah, and if you don't want to do that, just throw some vegetables and steam them and put,
well, generally I don't do it because I don't have time, but I decided to make it, you know, special, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's working. I mean, it's
good.
I'm enjoying it, so.
Good. And how about everybody's hunger on this? Are you like feeling like, oh my God, I'm so hungry?
Oh, yesterday I wasn't hungry at all. I couldn't finish anything, really. I still have leftovers. Yeah.
I love
today. We'll see. I eat only twice a day. So.
Right. Yeah. Good. Yay. It's a great thing for taking away the cravings. And, you know, sometimes when this is for me anyway, this might be true of some of you, is that the hardest thing for me is not eating at night. So, because I work all day and I don't get a chance to eat. And then I finally do. And then it's like, I eat my dinner. And then an hour later, I'm like, that wasn't enough. And it's kind of an excuse I make, like, oh, I need to eat more calories or I'm going to wither away or whatever it might be. And then I find myself, well, it's 11 o'clock. I'll just stay up 3 more hours and I'll eat something, right? But with this, I'm following the rules, right? I have these rules and guidelines and it's like, okay, yeah, it's 8 o'clock and I'm finished my meal and it's 10 o'clock. I'm starting to feel a little hungry. Great, I'll go to bed hungry. So it just, for me, it helps me to stay the course.
Yeah. I think a good, not that I do it all the time, but a good measure is to separate everything you're gonna eat. And when that is gone, It's gone,
right. I know, it's a really great way. That's kind of what the Brightline Eating Program is like, right? Where they give you get a certain amount and then it's done, right? It's done. And it's not that hard because if you're in the habit of, oh, but I'm still hungry, let me just go have a handful of cashews. Oh, let me just go have some walnuts. Let me just make some chocolate avocado pudding, you know? And it's just this excuse and it does build up. I personally then end up eating too much. Right. In the guise of not withering away to nothingness, I'm eating too much and then I gain a few pounds. And I'm like, okay. So this
is I'm part of your club.
Thank you.
Say that again. What'd you say?
I'm part of your club, I said.
It's the emotional eating club, which a lot of us have had, you know, entry.
Now I'm going to ask you
lifetime access.
I'm going to ask you something that you would ask maybe.
Okay.
Have you thought of putting other kind of things on your dinner that are more nutritious, that will sustain you, so you don't feel that you didn't have enough?
Yeah, and I, you know, that's a great question, because sometimes it's because I haven't, like, I'll just go, let me just grab some sauerkraut and an avocado. And then it's like, well, that wasn't enough to sustain. If you make the food, right, like during Shine, Scott will make a bunch of stuff, or we'll make it in advance, so that every time I have a meal break, I actually eat a real meal, right? I actually sit down instead of picking. And you're totally right, though. I mean, that's right on, because a lot of times we don't actually eat a full meal. We don't put all the components. Like, mine is always healthy, but I realize the days when I get, like, I don't have enough fat that day. Mm-hmm. And what I'm craving is fat. I just need a handful of walnuts, or, you know, some almond butter and chocolate or whatever.
Your go-to.
My go-to. That'll fill me up. And yeah, it does. Right. But yeah, you're right. When you actually make mealtime this special event, like Denise showed a beautiful picture of her soup the other day as she was making it. And when you sit down to that and you just actually make it an event, as opposed to working while you're doing it, right, or doing something else, you notice when you're full. And that's the thing I notice, is that if I finish what's on my plate and it's been substantial, I may still feel a little hungry, and it's not really hunger. It's more like, you know, wanting to eat. But if I wait 15 minutes, I'm feeling full. And then I get mad. I don't know if anybody's been through this. I get mad because I really want to eat such and such.
I know.
But I'm too full. Right? So it's just, there's so much that goes into food, and so much emotional baggage that we've probably all picked up along the way related to food, food as reward, food as love, right? Food as punishment, lack of food as punishment. And I think it's like, we're trying to create a healthy relationship with food. And when we do this fasting while feasting process, and I've given you, here's what to eat, here's what to eat, here's what to eat, it actually feels really good. And people say that, I couldn't finish mine the other day. I had some of my soup left over, and I had some of my salad. And it was like, when was the last time this happened, right? Where I couldn't finish. Yeah, I love it.
Is it okay that you don't finish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Because here's what the thing, we're doing a process to mimic fasting, right? So you can eat less food than we laid out, but don't eat more. I mean, unless you're eating less food and all you're doing is having all your 500 calories or whatever, 600 calories as sweet potatoes, that's not going to do it, right? Because that's going to throw your blood sugar up and your ketones down. So, you know, as long as you have that balance, it's okay to do less. Great. Thank you.
So the idea then is for the ketones to go up. So if you started at 0.5 and then you want it to go up.
You want it to go up. Right. And by, you know, what we found was last time, by day five, most people had ketones in the 4 to 5 range. I mean, that's really significant. And that's typically not achievable unless you're fasting. So it truly does mimic. Because I was skeptical when I did this. I'm like, you know, I've done plenty of fasts. Why would I want to do this mimicking thing? Why don't I just fast? And it's not going to do the same thing. So I'm going to really set. And I'm like, whoa, by day three, I was in the same kind of ketosis. I haven't checked today yet to see. But then by day five, I was up to like 5, and I never gotten to 5 ketones level without having, you know, actual fasted. So, and everybody's a little different. Like, your body gets used to it. If you do it over and over, like if you do this once a month, your body's going to get trained to go into it much more quickly. Yeah.
How long do you measure your ketones? Sorry.
I usually measure them in the morning or at night or both. Right. Throughout the day, it's variable. It's not like glucose where it just, you know, goes up and down throughout the day. I usually measure it in the morning. I measure it at night. What I find is that if I measure it at night and then I measure it the next morning, it's going to be lower because my body hasn't been fueled overnight. And so it's been using the ketones to fuel me, and it goes down a little bit, but then it goes up again later.
Thanks.
And Wheaton?
How many days of fasting with no food would it take your ketones to get to, let's say, a 5?
Oh, for me?
I'm just curious.
I'm used to it. I can get there by day 3 sometimes. No, 3 to 4. right? But when I first started doing it, it took a little longer. But I've gotten to the point where by day three, I'm 5, and I've gotten up as high as 7, 7.5. And that's with blood sugar going down to like 35. And people like freak out when I say that. Like, how, weren't you fainting? No, I just went for a run like I normally do, because I was using fat. And I have plenty on my rear. So it just like kept burning it away. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Nancy, hi, we haven't heard from you yet. Whoops, you're muted, hon. Let's ask.
There we go.
There you go.
Well, I'm doing good. I think a win is I'm noticing how good my fingernails are getting now. They used to be really thin and breaking, and they're really getting, they're still rigid, some of them, but they're really getting a lot harder. So I think that shows that there must be something good going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're probably getting more silica in there because there's a lot of silica that form there. Yeah.
That's the Brazil nuts.
Well, the Brazil nuts is selenium.
Oh, that's selenium.
But the silica is more like in the nettles. Those kinds of things have a lot of silica. Nettles, horse tail.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
My question is, I received the kit for the Aura ring, the sizing kit.
Yep.
Now what do I do from there? How do I order it, or what do I?
Well, they have the sizing kit. You figure out what the size is. Yeah. And you're supposed to send that back to them. They should have instructions in there.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't find any instructions. I hope I didn't throw something away that I
should. I just went through that, Nancy. I had the contact Scott Claver. I had to contact the help desk, and then the help desk sent me to Scott.
Oh, and what did you have to end up doing to get it?
So Scott sent me the original invoice, and then I looked at the invoice and I clicked on the link, and Aura Ring said, you have to ask the original purchaser. If it's a gift, they have to input it for you because you don't have the
name,
email, and all of that. So I sent it back to Scott, and Scott said, okay, I'll take care of it.
And so did you send the kit thing back to Scott and he had to send it, or just sent him the info and he?
I just sent him my size ring. I said, Scott, okay, my size ring.
Needed. Got it.
And then he just submitted it, and I just got my Aura ring the other day.
Oh, good. Great. Well, yeah. Thanks.
Scott at drritamarie.com. Just directly. Scott at drritamarie.com. Drritamarie.
Okay.
All right. Now he knows. So he'll be familiar with what to do.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Gina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thank you, Gina. I didn't know.
And you have a sizing kit, right?
Yes.
Sizing kit. Okay.
Yeah. I got the kit, but there wasn't, or I didn't see anything with it. Except on the top of the box, there was the, their website, which I went into, but that was only.
Oh, but you don't have the, because it's under our account because we ordered it. For, yeah.
Okay.
Correct. That was the case.
That was
the case. Didn't really follow up after that.
Okay.
Yeah, it will be fun to get it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now the, it communicates with the chronometer.
Oh, does it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So if you have the app, you have to have the Apple Health app, and you have the Aura Ring app, and then you have the chronometer app. It's a lot of apps, but they talk to each other. So that's really cool.
Do you have to have an Apple? Do you have to have an Apple phone to do that?
I have one. I have an iPhone. I don't know if it works with the other. I think it might. Check it out. Yeah, I don't remember if it went through the Apple Health. Some of the apps go through Apple Health, so it goes from Aura to Apple Health to whatever. And I don't remember if that one does. But yeah, when I went into Chronometer yesterday, I'm like, where did it get my, how much sleep I got? I'm like, what? That's pretty cool. And it was calculating my exercise. So if I put my exercise in to Chronometer to say, oh, I did this, whatever. And then it did that. It would say I was in a negative 2,700 calories that day. Well, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dr. Rita Marie, do you have a special deal to get the Aura rings cheaper?
I wish we did. No. We just ordered them. Yeah, we didn't, right? That's why I was hoping that they would give us a bulk discount because we ordered like 7 of them, but no. We don't.
Well, I sure appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was part of your goal plus. So, yeah. It'll be fun to see. Yeah.
I have a question about the fasting thing.
Yeah.
So the whole point is to be in ketosis so that you can do the
autophagy. Yeah. Yeah.
Autophagy. Yeah. And so my question is, if it takes you, you know, someone who's not done this before, if it takes them 4 or 5 days to reach that point, then what good is it if you're ending at that fifth day?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. That's an awesome question. It's getting you there, and there is some debreathing
going on.
And then you stop it because you don't want to keep doing it because it'll downregulate your metabolic rate. You could if you wanted to, but then you're going to be struggling when you start to add it back. But so you do it for a week, and then you go and eat healthy, right? Mm-hmm. And then you do it another week next month. And each time it's going to go slower and slower. I was doing 5-day fasts last year. I only did 2 of them this year, but last year I did them every month. And again, intuition, we were talking about intuition. My intuition was saying no to full fasting, except for a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But last year it was every month, and I was hitting the maximum autophagy like a day and a half after. I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. But if I had continued, what would have happened was I would have started to get really weak, right? Because it's a long period of time with low caloric intake. And so to keep up my life the way I wanted it to, going beyond 5 days is really challenging. So I would stop it, and then I'd go back to regular, and then I'd go back and do it again in 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's what you do with the fasting while feasting. Same thing. Right. Yeah. But it's still a benefit. Like people say, well, I do this, whatever, and my heart rate goes down, my blood pressure goes down, but who cares? 2 minutes later, my son is, you know, yelling and screaming, and my blood pressure goes up again. It's still every moment that you spend in that healing state is contributing. It's cumulative to your overall health. So yeah.
That's- so is it making it so that once you reach, and like the process of getting there, and once you reach that, then is it kind of like setting up your body to say, oh, this is how it's supposed to do?
And it learns it every time. I mean, okay. And everybody's different. Like for me, it was pretty quick, and I can get into ketosis. Right. Although this time I haven't done it. See, when I was doing the fasting every month last year, when I did the fasting while feasting, I was quickly. And for me, it's only gotten up to 1.2 so far. And I haven't checked it later, so I don't know what it is now, but versus much higher when I was used to it. So the body gets used to it and goes, oh yeah, that's that fat burning thing. Oh, I'm supposed to go burn fat. Yay. I don't need glucose. And boom, it goes into that place. But it gets better and better each time. Like my husband, he was doing similar stuff. He was fasting, but it took him like, he barely got into ketosis, like one on the last day of a 5-day fast. But now he's been really careful about what he's eating. He's doing intermittent fasting every day. And now he maintains a 1. That's like his always state of ketosis, because his body got used to it. And he lost 30 pounds, more than that. He's really fit. And so it really made a difference, but it took him a lot longer than it took me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I'm just not fully understanding, and I don't, you know, my cognitive is getting worse as the day goes on, you know, as days go on. As far as, like, if our body, like, so for instance, you know, my body is a disaster. And so, and I know you don't like those words, but it's reality. And so,
okay, so you missed, did you hear the talk that we did right before this that Susan did on the thoughts creating cellular?
No, I didn't. I
gotta listen to that as soon as we post it, because okay, she actually showed the physiologic biochemical mechanism of how those negative thoughts affect you on a cellular receptor level.
Okay, so all right, my body is not as great as everybody else's body necessarily.
My body is moving in the direction of optimal functioning, and right now I'm working on improving it.
Okay, but my point though is that if a body is not super healthy, then what's the likelihood of reaching the autophagy thing? And unless you're ready to eat healthy afterwards, is it really Yeah, I know a little bit here and a little bit there is always better, but.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it.
It is. And okay.
It's going to, you know, the better you are in between, but if you just know that every month you're going to do this, mm-hmm. you are going to naturally get better in between because you're going right. to like how you feel yeah. these five yeah. days and you're not going to like how you feel the other 20
right.
or 25. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So it's worth doing it. And it's worth doing it not perfectly.
Somebody answer the door.
It's worth doing it not perfectly.
Okay.
Right? Even if you like break down and have a piece of chocolate on day three, uh-huh. keep going to day four and day five. Don't keep doing the same thing. Okay.
But I guess another question is, so like if you finally reach a good number at day five, if you did a few more days, would it be better or would it be not better? Like, okay. is it good to be in the autophagy thing for a few days? It is.
Oh, yeah.
But if you could go longer, then you should, if you could do that.
So yeah.
you could be in that really healthy clearing out gunk state. Yeah.
And you usually get there. There's a number and it's on the Keto Mojo site. When you take the ratio of glucose to ketones, when it goes below one, now you have to convert your glucose to the international unit. Mm-hmm. But say you do that and say your glucose is down to 60. So mm-hmm. 60 divided by 18 is what? Mm-hmm. Let's just say it's 80 divided by 18 and it's like four, right? A little less than four. And you get your ketones up to four mm-hmm. and you're at the max autophagy.
Oh, for you.
Yeah. So, okay. right. And so that ratio is very critical. And most people will start to go into autophagy after about a 16 to 18 hours of fasting.
They'll okay. start to get.
Start to go into autophagy. Start, and then that varies from person to person. Like I've been right. on these fasting sites with like Dr. What's his name? That does the fasting. Dan Pompa. So he does this fasting and he does these 5-day fasts every so many months. And he always posts his numbers. And I'm like, I have better autophagy than you, yeah. you know, because yeah. he'll be having the autophagy that getting to the maximum at day four. I'm already in it at day two.
Okay.
Right. When I was doing the fasting every month. So it's just variable from person to person and it's your metabolism and it has to do with your genetics and has to do with a lot of different things.
And it could be, you know, this month is different than the next month. And
exactly.
it won't be necessarily the
stress
same.
Stress levels have an effect on it, how much you're exercising or not, you right. know, environmentals. There's so many stuff, so many things. Okay. But it's just such a good idea to 5 days a month, just like really devote yourself mm-hmm. to that self-care. Because, you know, for you, it's like the thinking of forever getting off of these foods that are comforting you when you've got all this stuff is hard. But for 5 days, you can do it.
Right. And so like the benefit is the longer you could be in that autophagy thing, especially in my position where I have a lot of clearing out to do, then that would be better, but don't be unrealistic and try to do that the first time out.
No, the first time you just do it for the sake. And then the next time it'll be better. Every time should okay. get better.
All right. Okay? I'm just, you know, and it's, a lot, it has a lot to do with the fact of, okay, I'm going to have about 4.5 months for my son and I to really, and so by the end of that 4.5 months, we're on a roll. And
yeah, so that's why I think doing this 5 days, because if you try to do it longer, you're going to not, it's going to be hard to live your life.
Right.
Right. right. And if you try to do it with 5-day water fast, I know you're great at about 16 hours, but after that you get a bad headache. So don't even try to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Good job, guys. Thank you so much for being here and we'll see you again. There's another call for the Empowering.
I know.
Yeah, on Thursday. So if more questions come up, join us then. All right?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.